welcome to the very first episode of the Fearlessly Free podcast. I am your host, Selena P, aka Fearlessly Free, and I just want to start off by telling you guys thank you so much. I just need to say thanks. Like, thank you so much to every single person that tuned in to the intro episode. I was so overwhelmed, I can't lie. I was blown away by the phenomenal response. I had like over 100 people that tuned in, 100 listeners in a space of the first like 2 days. And for me, that is just, it was mind-blowing. And then to hear the responses from so many of you guys, it just blew my mind and really blessed my heart, I can't lie. Like, the fact that the consensus was that, you know, it's something that needs to be talked about. No one is talking about it. Many of us have gone through it, and many of us are suffering and struggling in silence. And for me to actually create a platform like this that has impacted so many people already, I'm so grateful. I have to just give God praise for that, because I'm like, what? Say what, Jesus? Is that how you doing, boo? But yeah, like, it's just crazy. Like, I just want to say thank you. And it hasn't been easy for me to even do this. And I just have to thank God for people like my friend Latoya, who, you know, I was at her house a few weeks back, and she was like, "See, when are you going to do this? Like, people need to hear your story. Your light needs to, like, not just shine for us, your nearest and dearest, but it needs to shine for others as well. And you can't hide it." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I know, like, I'll do my thing soon, innit?" And she was like, "No." And then she was like, "When, see, like, when?" And I just have to thank God for my circle in it. Like, my people are just so amazing and so inspirational, and they push me to be the best version of me. They will not allow me to stay comfortable. And I think if it had not have been for the likes of my friend Latoya and so many of my homegirls, I wouldn't have shared my story. And it's something that I've kind of like just kind of kept quiet in terms of, like, you know, I am quite a private person. I don't like putting all my dirty laundry out in the public eye, like on social media and stuff. So, you know, I am quite open, but that's only with my close friends, my close circuit. So for me to actually do this, and the responses that I've got, not just from England, but people from abroad in different countries, I'm like, what? Like, yeah. And I guess for me, when God has purposed you to do something, and, you know, he gives you a gift, it's like, it's, I kind of see it like it's wrapped up. It's like that gift, like under the Christmas tree, isn't it? Like, and, you know, you won't see the full potential of who you are and the impact that you were created to make on this earth, if you don't unwrap your gift. And we have to unwrap our gifts, guys. So if by me sharing my story has blessed so many people and enabled them to know that, you know what, they're not alone, then I'm just so grateful. And I just, yeah, I'm thankful to every single person. Anyway, let's get cracking. So, as you all know, those of you who are following me on my social media platform, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is coming. Lots of you have asked me for Facebook details. That's coming. That'll be ready like within the next week. But you will have seen on my social media that the series for my podcast is entitled Letters to the Church. And that's just, you know, for those of you who you know, are like Bible scholars, as it were, or just know your Bible, like, you'll know that there's like a guy in the Bible called Paul, Apostle Paul, and he wrote lots of letters to different churches, the Ephesians church, Philippi church, like the Corinthian churches. And for me, I just thought, seeing as this is an issue that that basically takes place within the church, I thought what better title than to entitle it Letters to the Church. Today's episode is letters to the wounded, or letter to the wounded rather. And I thought, who better to start off with than us? You know, I could have started off by talking about the bad teaching in the church, and although I might, you know, kind of like talk about some of that today, but, you know, and I could have spoken about like the bad leaders and so on and so forth. But I think we need to start with ourselves. Like, we've been hurt. We've been left feeling condemned and judged and less than, or lesser than. Like, we've been left feeling, or made to feel, as though we are inferior than those who remain in the church. And those, you know, who may be in positions and leadership in the church and stuff. And I thought, who best to start off with than us? You know, those of us who have been wounded. And I just want to start off as well by, you know, this is the disclaimer that I will make from now. This podcast is not a platform to incite anger or to encourage the regurgitation of negativity. It's solely a platform that is non-judgmental. You can come as you are. Like, you know, if you want to come cussing and wanting to like knock out people for what they've done and stuff like that, then that's cool. That's where you're at. That's how you feel, because this is a very sensitive topic that impacts people to their core in some cases. So I get the anger, I get the rage, I get the bitterness. However, I don't believe that it's God's plan for us to stay in a state of toxicity. Toxicity. Your girl can't even talk today. Like, what's going on? So yeah, I don't believe that that's, you know, even if we were to just take God out of the equation just for a second, like, it's not healthy for anyone. Like, if you love yourself, then you know that it don't feel good. It doesn't make, there's no sense of fulfillment or contentment to stay in a place that is negative, that is dark, that is toxic. It's like having gangrene on your foot and going to the GP and saying, yo, doc, look how my foot is all, my toes all ready to hang off and all them thing there. But I don't want no antibiotics. I don't want no treatment. I just want you to look at it and I just want you to smell the odour. Like, don't treat me though, innit? Like, just look at the toe. Look how it's falling off. Like, you know them ones there? Like, it's like, it's your whole trip to the GP was in vain then, innit? So I say that to say, like, Fearlessly Free isn't about, as much as we will talk about the hard to confront issues, like, and anyone that knows me knows that I keep it real. Like, and I'm not saying I keep it real in terms of just talking about situations for talking's sake, but I'm like, I'm a solution focused person. I've gone through this. I'm sharing my story because I've been through a Fearlessly Free journey, and I believe I'm still on that journey. And because it's been so liberating, I want to share it with the world. Hence why I've started this platform. And so for me, it's about, okay, how can we be fearlessly free? How can we be free from the chains of bitterness and the anger and the condemnation and the guilt and the traumatic, like the tormenting memories of those traumatic experiences that took place in a place that we went to, that we expected to be a safe haven and where we expected to meet the all-loving Father, which is God. Like, we need to be set free from that. And for me, this is what it's about. So it's not about regurgitating the toxicity. It's about, okay, this is where I'm at right now. I acknowledge that I'm in a toxic state right about now. But you know what? I want to be better. And so that's what Fearlessly Free is all about. But I welcome the realness. Like, those of, you know, my people, they know, like, rah, see, like, you dropped too many F-bombs today, innit? Like, but sometimes, and I'm not condoning that, I'm not encouraging that anyone just be out here cussing for no reason, but there was a time where them F-bombs, they described how I felt to a T, and I make no apology for it. And that's not because, you know, I'm out here encouraging, you know, angry behavior. But when I came out of the church trauma, I was very angry and I almost lost my mind. Like, I felt like I was going crazy because I had got to a place where I was just like, Selena, you just waited 12 years in a place, like, and came out with nothing but hurt and pain and shame and regret. Like, so excuse me if I drop a couple F-bombs up in this season, you know, like that. So, you know, thankfully, my friends... my friends, my family, they love me, innit? So they just accept me as I am. And they, walked with me through it. So having said all of that, kind of feel like I kind of digressed there, but you know what? I'm going to keep that. I'm not even going to try and edit that out. So today I got sent something that, Cornelius Lindsay put up on his Insta, and I want to share it with you all because I was just like, Jesus, you in the spirit, you know, like that. But before I do that, I want to speak about like the definition of spiritual abuse. There's something that I found that I posted on my Instagram, and it says, it is spiritual abuse to use the Bible as a weapon to manipulate, shame, or guilt people into behaving in a way you approve of. So it says, it is spiritual abuse to use the Bible as a weapon to manipulate, shame, or guilt people into behaving in a way you approve of. So basically that's saying, yeah, that you are essentially you are spiritually abusing someone when using the Bible or your gift, your God-given gift, as a weapon. And note it says weapon, to which basically mean a weapon is formed to cause harm. It's not caused to, like, you know, cause any kind of good. Like, a weapon is formed to cause harm and or to kill. So it's saying that spiritual abuse is when someone uses the Bible as a weapon to manipulate, shame, or guilt people into behaving a way you approve of. So when, by you, that could mean the spiritual leader, the leader, whether it be the pastor, the deacon, the prophet, the apostle, whoever the case may be, or it could be you, you know, where, you know, someone ain't doing something in a way that you expected them to, and so, you know, you use the Bible to kind of twist and manipulate them into doing what it is that you want them to do. It's all control. And I thought I'd use that definition because I think it's so apt and it sums up spiritual abuse so well. Another definition that I found was that it says a spiritual abusive group or person might claim they are God's sole channel of communication, or that they alone can rightly interpret God's word. And so for me, when I read those, I was like, oh my gosh, ding, ding, ding. Like, ain't that the churches that I've been in though? Like, I was like, nah, talking out my business. So, I thought, let me start off with the definitions and then we can tuck into the post that I saw today from Cornelius Lindsay. And so, the post said, let me find it. You know, when my gallery is just trying to be the enemy of progress right now and I can't find the screenshot. Ah, there it is. So it says witchcraft, church control, leadership. Jeez, them ones there, you know, witchcraft. Hey, so Number one, it's got 13 signs of witchcraft church control leadership or controlling leadership in the church. Does the leadership teach that God must speak to them first before God will speak to you? Number two, does the leadership curse anyone or people who leave the church? Number three, does the leader teach that his church or her church is the only true church? Number four, are you forbidden to talk to anyone who has left the church? Number five, is there an overemphasis of teaching on submission to the leadership? Number six, are you forbidden to attend or visit any church that is outside your denomination or fellowship? Number seven, are people publicly embarrassed or humiliated by the leadership? I.e. sermons are made to hit and demoralise people in the pulpit or people preaching from the pulpit. Are you afraid to voice out any opinion contrary to leadership? Number nine, marriages are broken by the leadership. Number 10, people are manipulated in their giving, i.e. taking advantage financially. Number 11, every decision a person makes in their personal life has to be approved by leadership. Number 12, are you forbidden to fellowship with your family if they are not saved or do not belong to your church? And lastly, number 13, are you discouraged from reading books that are not approved by the leadership? Okay, so I thought to myself, when I read this, I was like, oh my days, is this not some, or if not all, of the experiences that I or someone else that I know has experienced in church? And in terms of writing this letter to the wounded, I thought there's no point in just talking about, you know, express how you feel and, you know, we pray about it and put a plaster on it. No, what is it that you're wounded by? Who wounded you? How did they wound you? And I thought it was it's very befitting for us to actually maybe go through this list, because it just lists like some things that are just going on in churches today, if not all of them. And so today I want to start off by picking number seven and number five. And the reason for that is because their situations, they are issues that I experienced in the church. And like I said, I did say that I would unpack some of my experiences. Number seven says, are people publicly embarrassed or humiliated by the leadership? I.e. sermons are made to hit and demoralised people in the pulpit. So basically what that point, I think there's a spelling error there, but what it's saying is, does the person in the pulpit who's preaching use their sermons to demoralise people? Number five says, is there an overemphasis of teaching on submission to leadership? Okay, so let me tuck into my experiences. Number seven, real quick. Okay, the public embarrassment. As I touched on in my intro, I was told by the pastor of my last church that I was to lose weight. He used Hebrews 12, verse 1. Which for those of you who know the word quite well, the writer of Hebrews says that we are to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. There's more to that verse, but that part of the verse is what that pastor at the time was referring to in relation to me losing physical weight. Completely took the Bible out of context. Remember what I said in relation to in the definition of spiritual abuse, the Bible was used as a weapon to manipulate people. So he said that in front of the church in a prayer meeting. And at the time, I didn't challenge it. And so when I say that, you know, earlier I said that I came out of church with all this regret and stuff. I felt like I was 12 years a slave in these churches, yeah? And I just felt like I just came out of nothing. And anyone that knows me from school knows that Selena's a fighter, yeah? So if you step on my corn, yeah, it's tump, you're getting tumped, or I'm cussing you out. So for me to be in church and a man tell me to lose weight, these times I'm your favourite fluffy, you know, like that. Yeah, okay. So man telling me to lose weight using scripture. And at the time I didn't challenge it. And I'll tell you for why. By that time, I'd already been in church maybe about 10 years or so. And by that time, I've gone through different churches where people have said to me, Selena, your laugh sounds like a witch, you know, or your laugh is demonic, or you're not going to get a husband with a laugh like that. I've had people tell me, this is me going through all the different churches. So not just my last church that we had to shut down, but, and I'll get to that in later on in the series. I've had people speak about my, you know, my effervescent personality. Now, for those of you that know me, I have a big personality. Yeah. You know, that's just how God made me, and the fearlessly free person that I am today. I don't really care what you think, whether you like me or not. You know, I am like Marmite, and that's that. I make no apologies for it. If you've got an issue with it, go to my maker. And so back then, you know, there was this whole thing about my personality and, and you can't dress like that and, you know, you can't do this. And so it was just like, oh my gosh. And so by the time I'd got to year 10 of my salvation and being in all these different churches, there was this whole thing of I kind of felt like, you know, my voice had been stripped away, because also in addition to my personality, my identity, things that I can't change, like my laugh, like how are you going to change your laugh, like, do you know what I mean, like things that I can't change had been completely attacked and knocked. So my confidence had been knocked. And so although you know, I think by nature I am quite a confident person, so it's something that couldn't be taken away completely. However, I would say a huge chunk of it had been eroded by the spiritual abuse, and the control and the manipulation. So when it came down to this dirty bungle, this pastor guy telling me to lose weight, by that time I'd lost my voice and I didn't challenge it at the time. However, a whole year, I had to endure a whole year of my members, because I was ordained in 2012. So I was one of the church leaders, and I had like members coming up to me saying, oh, Minister Cece, like my nickname Cece. They'd be like, oh, Minister Cece, like, should you be eating that? Or like, oh, like, I can tell, like, you've put on weight. Like, and I'm just like, boy, bye, girl, bye. But it really hurt. And what had happened was, is because they had seen that the pastor had done it and he'd done it publicly, it then gave them license to then comment on what I put to my mouth. Yeah. Or if I looked a bit too, a little extra fluffy, do you know, like that. I'm not sitting down here condoning or endorsing, you know, obesity. And, you know, being comfortable with being overweight. However, I'm not going to sit down here and say that I'm morbidly obese, because that's not where I'm at. And even if I was, there are ways of tackling that in love and not doing it in a way that is attached to shame and condemnation. So that's what happened. I then challenged it. After a whole year, it was like, I've had enough of this, innit. So there was one day that this, you know, one of the members went up to give a testimony. And as the girl's giving the testimony, she then refers to me and starts talking about, like, my health, yeah. She didn't say nothing derogatory, but by that time, whether it was derogatory or whether it was a blessing, I weren't trying to hear it, because I was like, "You, there's too many of y'all just like out here commenting on my physique. Like, how about we stop? Yeah, how about we stop that?" And by that time, I'd lost it. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and I'd spoken to the pastor's wife, who was also one of the pastors. And I'd said, "Look, this is what's happened a year ago. Your husband said this. The church members feel like they have license to comment on my weight and what I put to my mouth. And I'm not happy about it. Like, something needs to be done. So I'm bringing it to your attention." Granted, by that time, I'd lost the plot, and I was very angry. And unfortunately, you know, I think I directed, not that I think, I know I directed my anger at the young lady who was giving her testimony. But, you know, it was just one of those things where I'd kind of taken my anger out on the wrong person. And at the time when I told the pastor's wife, her response was that no one should be told to lose weight in church, whether it be privately or publicly. Yeah, so basically, we then had a meeting, myself, the pastor's wife and the pastor, and I proceeded to explain what had happened. And he kind of, you know, his response was, "This is more of an issue about of offence, as opposed to him misusing the Bible to give me a word." Yeah. And, you know, he was very theatrical when he gave the word as well. Like, it was like, it was like a circus moment. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I thought like the heavens were going to open and angels were going to fly out with harps and all these kind of things. The way that he was all breathing heavily, like it was like a scene out of Waiting to Exhale. You know, like when Loretta Devine is walking away from the man and she's all breathing heavily and inhaling. It was like that. I was just like, really, really, Pastor? Anyway, so at that time, I'd spoken to, you know, he's obviously letting me know that he ain't having it and he ain't going to apologise, and he never did. But then his wife interjected because I was challenging that. So his wife then interjected, and then she raised her voice and said, "You know, if the Lord has spoken to my husband and has directed him to release the word in such way, then who are we to refute that?" I was like, "Nah, but babes, wasn't you the same one last week that said no one should tell me to lose weight privately or publicly?" So I was completely confused. And at that point, I knew I was fighting a losing battle, and I was left very much deflated. I felt confused. I felt like, did God really like orchestrate this? Like, was he really the one that like would allow that to happen? Like, I just didn't get it. Like, it was just crazy. And because there was no resolve by the pastors, it then meant that, you know, it was okay for the members to continue. But I think what happened was, because I was one of the more outspoken members in the church, there was a level of acknowledgement by these pastors, inverted commas. And as a result of that acknowledgement, you know, I believe that there were certain conversations that were had with the members, because after that, any conversations or anything in relation to my weight or what I was eating was never mentioned again after that meeting in that back room. So yeah, it was awful. It was crazy. It knocked my confidence, but hey, now I'm back, you know, like that. Your favorite fluffy is here on Fearlessly Free Radio. Toot toot. Okay, so that's that situation. Number five, the overemphasis of teaching on submission to leadership. Now, the very church that we were in, the one that I was just talking about, there was this whole thing of like submission, submission, submission. And I'm just like, really? Like, it was this whole thing of submission to the leadership. People who had businesses and business ideas, or they were about to start a business, or, you know, it was very much like you had to submit the business under the church, as it were. But really and truly, it was to the leadership. Like it was just crazy. I choose those two, those two trends, as it were, today, just to share that, you know, this is what I've gone through. But I think one key point is to speak about the red flags. And the reason why I think that that's a key point to speak about is because it's important to address this, I feel, because when I came out of the church, I blamed God. Now, the reason why I blamed God was because I was like, nah, but if you're the all-seeing eye and the all-knowing God, yeah, how comes you didn't give me no warning, yeah? To say that if that's what happened, then you can't be real. Do you know what I mean? And so what happened was, for me, was that I felt like I came out of that situation and I was like, oh my days, God, you're on some next thing, because how are you seeing what happened and all now? Yeah, you can't send a sister a little life jacket. Yeah, like I'm just out here drowning. And the reason why I use the words red flags is because, do you know what? After I got through that time of anger, and that anger subsided enough for me to have a level of sobriety to be able to see things a bit more clearer. And, you know, when I spoke to God, unless, like, I'm really condensing it right about now, but it was over a long course of time, because there came a point where I came out of, after I came out of the church, where I didn't believe in him at all. I was just like, yeah, bun this, because if you really were God, then you would have saved me from that, innit? And I had to come, like, be real with myself, and I was like, okay, hold on a minute, like. And that's when, by that time, that's when I'd got to a state of, like, you know, sobriety. I was still kind of like on the warpath, but I was kind of, my anger was restrained enough for me to be able to have a level of rationale that was completely lost in my time of anger. And in relation to the red flags, one thing that I had to be really, and like I said, I'm a real person, and not just in terms of with other people, but with myself first. I think that it's so important to be real with yourself. If you cannot have an MJ moment once a week, yeah, then like something's wrong. We need to be able to look ourselves in the mirror and be able to acknowledge our flaws and still love ourselves enough to improve and work on those weaknesses and work on, you know, the areas where we do have flaws and stuff like that, in order for us to be the best version of ourselves. And so because I am a self-reflector by nature, I was able to have my MJ moment and looked in the mirror and I was like, hold on a minute. You mean for say that God was seeing all of this and didn't tell me? And through my time of reflection, it's like I had light bulb moments. And if I'm honest, one thing that became so clear during that time, like that epiphany moment time for me, was that there were many things that took place in all of those churches throughout the course of those 12 years that I was a slave, whereby I did not feel comfortable. Whether it was about something that someone or a leader, you know, like a church member or a leader had done to me personally, or I'd observed like being done to someone else. And I didn't feel comfortable. You know, for example, when I mentioned in my last episode in the intro about, you know, the minister drawing me out into the front garden of the pastor's house, I got on my knees and he's telling me, and he's basically pouring the oil over my head, like, to deliver me from evil spirits. All now, like, really, like, my eyes still open and dry out. But I say all that to say, like, these were all things that did not feel right. And there were things that took place. There were words that were spoken. There were even words where, because the particularly in the last church that I went to before it was shut down, that the pastor would try to manipulate the ministers, the leaders in the church, to actually speak specific sermons in order to manipulate the whole congregation. And I had to take responsibility for the fact that, hold on a minute, like, you know what, like, as much as I might have been grieved about a certain sermon that I heard, or I saw or felt something weren't right, because of my loyalty, you know, and my love for these people, I didn't challenge it at the time. And that is twofold. Part of that was because my voice was robbed, you know, like, I felt as though my voice had been silenced through those years of manipulation. But the other side of the coin was that when I did have somewhat of a level of, I guess, an awakening, as it were, I didn't even go home to say, well, let me pray about what I saw today that kind of made me feel a bit uncomfortable. And I say that to say that when things that happen that are not of God, like, God lets you know. He lets you know. And, you know, there's this, and it's so difficult because there is this whole thing of, you know, like I read in that at the beginning of this episode about the spiritual leader portraying themselves as though they are the only ones that hear from God. So it's so difficult, especially if you are a young person, like, you're a babe in Christ, and you are led to believe, and you are taught, and you are indoctrinated to believe that if the person behind the pulpit is speaking, that means that every single person, everything, every single word that is coming out of their mouth is gospel, and it is from the mouthpiece of God himself. Now, that is absolute rubbish. And it's important for us to be in tune with that voice of God. And it doesn't, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, I think there's this, you know, there's this myth that God's just going to speak to you in an audible voice, like, all the time. Like, it very rarely does that happen. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but we need to understand that he does talk, and he does speak to his children, and he will say, like, whether it be through a nudge, a little prod, like, your gut, your instinct, like, your inner voice, whatever you want to call it, something will say to you, Rod, you know what, babes, this ain't right, you know. And that's God letting you know, do you know what, that is not of me. But because of the relationships that we form with the pastors, and because there's this culture of, you know, putting all your trust into the spiritual leaders behind the pulpit, it causes you to kind of, like, dismiss your wisdom and your common sense and the intelligence that you have, bearing in mind that those are all things that God has given us. So when we walk into the church, we are to walk in fully armed and equipped with our wisdom, with our common sense, and with our intelligence, coupled with our knowledge of God and our zeal and our desire to learn about him. We are to still stay sober. And unfortunately, these institutions, and that's what I call them, I don't call them the houses of God. Very few of the churches of today carry you know, the true essence of God's kingdom. And so it's important for us to walk with our wisdom, with our discernment, with our intelligence and with our common sense. When we see a pastor saying to a member of his congregation or her congregation, yo, turn around on your head, on your 333rd hair strand, and you will be blessed and God will give you £1 million and send you a husband. That's when you've got to be like, yeah, no, do you know what? No, God's a miraculous God, but yeah, no. How about that? Computer says no. Everything's shut down. I'm going home. And it's not wrong for us to actually challenge. And we're indoctrinated in those spaces to not challenge, because we're told that, you know, that person is the mouthpiece of God. And so I wanted to kind of just touch on the whole red flag, the area of red flags, because if we are honest with ourselves, a lot of us can admit, maybe not for all of us, but a lot of us can actually admit that, you know what, there were red flags when so-and-so did this to me, or when I saw that the pastor or the deacon or the prophet did this to such and such a person, or, you know, whatever the case may be, there was a red flag. There was something that said to you, do you know what? Something here is not right. And so I say that to say, just on the back of what I said in my intro, that to say that I'm saying that to say that church hurt has nothing, is not God hurt. Like, God gives us the indications that something's not right when we go to these environments. And for me, I had to acknowledge that, you know what, Lord, throughout all those 12 years, there were things that either happened to me or to others that I didn't think were right. But because of my naivety and my ability to just trust, you know, you got to remember, these are strangers as well. Like, you know, so we're not saying that we don't trust people who God uses to bless us through word, through, you know, whether it be messages from God, whether it be through prophecy and, you know, Bible teaching and stuff like that. But again, the same way that God will give you that little indicator, you know, that nudge, that prompting to say, babes, like, that's not of me, is the same way that he will let you know that, you know what, this person is on my side, like, this is one of mine. And that's all it is. It's not a case of, you know, discarding everything of God, discarding everything of church, but it's about walking into these environments, you know, if you so choose. You know, I'm not telling anyone to do anything that they are not ready to do or they don't want to do. But if you choose to go in back into these environments, it's about walking into those environments with your common sense, with your wisdom and with your intelligence. Yeah, it's not like, you know, we're not just because we come to Christ and, you know, he's a miraculous God and the ways of God are not the ways of the world, doesn't necessarily mean that we then take everything that we see in these environments as gospel, because there were things that took place around Jesus in the Bible. You know, Judas was around him, like, you know, so, you know, and those, you know, that wasn't right. And although it served a purpose, I think in this particular context in church hurt, there's certain things that we can actually avoid and we can actually call out and expose in order to save other people like ourselves that have gone through the trauma that we've gone through. Because what is happening in these places is not pleasing to God. God is not pleased. He didn't design it. But unfortunately, people who have chosen not to be fully submitted to God, they'd rather you submit to them. Do you know what I mean? And so they've basically made themselves a God, like an idol. And, you know, it's a case of they've allowed that evil to really just breed in their heart, and they're allowing themselves to be used by Satan to mock God, to make a, you know, to basically abuse their position of trust. And as a result of that, here we are, people who have been wounded by the hands of those that should have known better. As I start to close, I want to let you guys know that, do you know what? Trust your instincts. And I want to remind you that what you've gone through in church, the bad things that you've experienced, they're not from God. They're not of God. Yeah. And it's easier for us to say that. But when you're carrying the pain and the anger and the shame and the regret, so it's so heavy. Like, I know for me, it's taken me years to get to this place of peace that I'm in. So when you're carrying that, it doesn't make it easier for us to compute that message. That message doesn't compute easy. Like, we still have to, you know, go through a process of, okay, God, like, you didn't create this. Like, people chose to go against you to hurt me. And as a result of that, I carry scars and wounds that only you can heal. But what a lot of us do is that we run away from God because we tarnish him with the same brush as we've done with the others that have actually hurt us. And it's people that have hurt us. God didn't say, do you know what? I'm going to use these people to hurt my people, like to hurt my children. It was those people that chose to use God's word as a weapon to harm us. And so the same way that the Bible can be used for good, for, you know, to elevate us, to teach us, to correct us, to comfort us, to instruct us and to guide us, is the same way that people can use the Bible to bring us down. Yeah. And, you know, it's like in, it's like with that, you know, with the Bible that at the beginning of slavery, when you look at the Bible that the slave masters used, it was a Bible whereby they'd taken out a huge chunk of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it actually said the Bible for the Negro slaves. And so I say that to say that, you know, the same way that God can use the Bible for his good and for our good is the same way that Satan can use people to use the Bible for his, you know, for his good, for evil, basically. And we have to be wise to that and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, the baby being God. Like, God is a good God. He's a loving God. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. Even in spite of you turning away from him, picking up that spliff, going back to that ex, or going back to the ting, you know, that ting there. Like, he don't care about all that. He knows why you do that. He knows why you've gone back to certain things and certain habits and certain, like, ways of life. Like, if I was to talk out the things about what I went back to and certain things that I'm even, like, breaking away from now, like, girl, brother man, you would be like, okay, sis, I didn't even know that you had that in you, you know, like that. But real talks, though. God loves us regardless. He don't care about, you know, what you've gone back to. And, you know, the religious people will say, oh, you know what, you've gone back to your vomit and whatever, whatever. You know what? I don't care. I don't care, because you ain't got a heaven or hell to put me in. So for me, it's about fearless freedom is about reconnecting to your God even though the very place that you went to find God, you didn't find him, doesn't mean to say he cannot be found. The Bible says that if we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, some of us, we looked in what looked like the right place for him and we didn't find him. But it doesn't mean to say that he cannot be found. So I'm going to wrap up there. And I just want to close with an encouraging quote by Aung San Suu Kyi. I really hope I just pronounced that right, you know, guys. It sounds like I was speaking in tongues, right? And it says, the only real prison is fear. And the only real freedom is freedom from fear. The only real prison is fear. And the only real freedom is freedom from fear. And so I wanted to leave that with you, that the very thing that was sent to keep you in a place of fear, God made a way for us to be free. And not just free in other areas of our lives, but to be free from this very thing here called church hurt and spiritual abuse. It's come to kill and mash you up like at your core. This thing affects our mind, you know, people, like it affects our hearts, it affects our emotions, it affects our perception, it even affects the way that we see ourselves. Some of us have been left to feel like God could never love us, like we're unlovable. Like that is a lie. And so I'm closing with that word to say, do you know what? Like God sent his son to die for us to have true freedom from all those fears, from all those lies, from those places called church, called churches that unfortunately hurt you, and we can be made free from it. And as we go into the next episode, which will be in 2 weeks' time, I'll be unpacking a few of the other points that Cornelius Lindsay put up on his Instagram. And for those of you that want to follow him, it's his Insta is This Is Cornelius, and please feel free to hit me up. My Instagram is Fearlessly Free Official. My email is freefearlessly@gmail.com. And my Twitter is fearlesslyfree_. I want to hear from you. Let me know, you know, your thoughts on today's episode. Let me know what you want to talk about. If there's anything that you want me to go into, like a bit more deeper, like let me know. I'm here. Please subscribe so you don't miss a beat. I've been your host, Lady Fearlessly Free. Have a great week. Take good care of yourselves. Bye for now. Thank you.